Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Hello, everyone, from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on this magical network known as Blog Talk Radio. Hope everybody's having a great night. I think the weather's calmed down a little bit across North America and all the torrential storms in our poor neighbors in Joplin, Missouri, and throughout Alabama. Gosh, our prayers are with you. I hope everything's getting better. I know it's going to be a long, hard, tough battle, but our prayers are with you. Our guest tonight, man, what a great show it's going to be. Billy Henschy is going to be with us in just a little bit. For us baby boomers, we remember him from the 60s group, Dino, Desi, and Billy. And, of course, here recently, he's quite the filmmaker. He just produced a DVD about the late, great Carl Wilson, the Beach Boy. And we're going to talk all about his musical career, his film work, and whatever comes up in this hour. So I hope you have a comfortable seat. As always, handling the technical responsibilities, our studio producer, Melissa Hovey, and our technical engineer, Wayne Larson, for the music, Jim Johnson, and from his massive Wild World News studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, the Honorable, Distinguished Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Well, good evening, Mr. Batson. How's everything at the Wildlife Preserve?
I think I just swallowed a bug. I don't know what just happened. Oh, excuse me. Wow, well, it's that time of year. We need more bats.
Okay. Can you identify the bug?
No. It's but I thought all of a sudden I couldn't breathe for a second, so well, everything's good now. How's Dr. Day?
Doing good. I know your school season just ended. How are all the animals, your animal educators, handling it?
Well, it has ended, but we did a show last night. We were at the Cool Creek Nature Center, so we had the opportunity to see all the youngsters there and the oldsters as well. And I have to tell you, though, Elizabeth, our baby baboon, she wanted to be with the children, but not in a positive way. Little did they know, you know, a threat to a primate, great ape, baboon, etc., is a direct stare. And the children, and she, what we call it is the big eye, when they get this really wild-looking stare on their face, and they look you right in the eye. And so it was pretty interesting for a while. But we want to thank the folks at the Cool Creek Nature Center for hosting our show again this year. We had a great time, and hope to see everybody next year. The following portion of Larry Batson's Wild World is brought to you by Alphabet Swamp, the new children's book by Cheryl and Larry Batson. Order your autographed copy today at www.larrytheanimalguy.com or send check or money order for $10 per copy. WES 4140 North, 600 West, Greencastle, Indiana, 46135. Shipping and handling is included.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for June 16th. Now, Mr. Batson, you just had a birthday not too long ago, didn't you?
Well, it's been about a month. Exactly 1 month, yes.
That's right. It's been exactly a month.
Yeah.
Well, were you feeling kind of old?
Well, I was feeling older. Yeah, yes, I was.
Well, maybe this story will make you feel a little better.
Okay.
Rapid City, South Dakota. Methuselah, a 500-pound giant tortoise, turned 130 years old on Saturday. So, Reptile Gardens threw him a two-day party. Now, zoo spokesman John Brockleby says that the animal got to eat all of his favorite treats, and his most favorite thing in the world is watermelon. So
Whoa.
He had an ample supply.
Two
now, they're saying that Methuselah could live another 20 years or longer.
Wow. Two-day party. Man. Well, good for the tortoise. That's fantastic news. They do live a long time. We've got three of those, so gosh, they'll probably outlive me. No wonder my relatives disown me.
I love watermelon, too. Let's have a watermelon party for them.
We should do that. We'll do that.
All right, well, here's some more good news from St. Augustine, Florida. The Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission removed the Florida black bear and 15 other species, including the brown pelican, the white ibis, the snowy egret, and the alligator snapping turtle, from threatened status, because studies show that they are no longer at high risk of extinction.
Well, that's fantastic news. Good, that's great news. God bless Florida. Such a long time, we thought their ecosystem was a mess, and it proved that it's doing okay. It's all right.
Things are going great. Now, Here's an interesting story. When you're doing one thing and something else happens that is a good thing, at the same time, it's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. South Hutchinson Islands, Florida. Now, Grant Basinger, a field biologist with the Ecological Associates, was counting sea turtle nests on the beach and made a surprising find, the body of a rare beaked whale. Now, Stephen McCullough, founder of the Mammal Research and Conservation Program, said the carcass is a treasure trove of information about beaked whales. So by finding this carcass, I guess scientists will be able to study and possibly understand more about the beaked whales.
Well, that's fantastic news. You know, John Audubon, all the paintings and research that he did on birds, they were all birds that were past tense, passed away, dead. So all those wonderful drawings that he did. So we can learn a lot of stuff from dead things.
Hope you're right. Is your Scarlet McCall, that your blue and gold McCall, in the same room with you?
Yes.
I hear him tonight. It sounds good.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, well, you only have until tomorrow if you want to help name the zoo's new elephant in Toledo, Ohio.
Oh.
The public can vote on the Toledo Zoo's website until tomorrow on the name of the male African elephant that was born this month. He was born on June 3rd. Now, here are the options. Lucas.
Oh.
In honor of voters in Lucas County.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, I can kind of see that, who have supported the zoo there. Now, Chuck, recognizing the woodchuck, which was the first animal that was donated to the zoo, and Ian, for African elephant conservationist Ian Douglas Hamilton.
Well, those are all three, you know, not good selections.
Interesting names. Now, Larry is a good name, don't you think?
That would be a suitable name, yes.
Henry. How about Billy?
Well, I vote Billy because he's so nice to be our guest tonight.
Okay.
I don't know how honored he would be.
We have until tomorrow to have them change that name.
Okay.
All right, now here's some shark news for Melissa Hovey, our studio producer.
Oh.
Dover, Delaware. New shark fishing regulations go into effect this Saturday, prohibiting anglers from removing species such as the sandbar and tiger sharks from the water and requiring anglers to immediately release them, or they will be fined $25 to $100.
Those fines are not big enough. That's not going
to
stop anybody.
I have to agree.
Yeah, that's not going to stop anybody from illegal fishing. It's not going to happen.
$25 to $100? No, it's not. And I think Melissa will agree with us on that.
Well, I bet she will. Would.
Now, here we're on to some other news. Now, you help me with this news story here. Carson City, Nevada. A cold, wet spring that had people grumbling about the weather could have an upside. Now, here's the upside. The State Department of Agriculture entomologist Jeff Knight expects an average year for the number of Mormon crickets that travel in bands and eat everything in their path.
So, before it's always been an above average year of consumption.
so it's going to be a normal year for the crickets there, I guess.
Oh, well. Well, good for them.
I'm not sure why that's news.
I don't have a clue why that's news.
But we had to report it anyway.
There you go.
All right. Now, if you planned on catching a wave in Honolulu, Hawaii, the Department of Agriculture needs the public help in spotting infestations of the stinging nettle caterpillar. It appears to have spread to Kauai. The Big Island, Maui, and Oahu have already established populations. Now, if you run into this little guy, the caterpillar is white, which has a long black stripe down its back. And I believe they're native to Indiana here.
Really? I haven't encountered that caterpillar before, but I'll be on the lookout for it. Stings like nettles.
That's right. So just stay in the water, and you should be safe from the caterpillars.
Okay.
All right. Now, we're off to one of your favorite places. We reported last week that they were having problems with the snow buildup in Estes Park, Colorado.
Oh, yes.
Now, heavy snows are blocking efforts to open Old Fall River Road in the Rocky Mountain National Park by the 4th of July. Now, that's a couple of weeks off. There's so much snow, it's going to take them another 2 weeks. Park Superintendent Von Baker says snowplow operators have focused on clearing Trail Ridge Road, which you're familiar with,
yes.
Which opened on June 6th. The latest the road has opened in more than 20 years. Now, Baker says sections of the Old Fall River Road are under about 15 foot of snow.
Well, I'm very familiar with Fall River Road as well, and it's one way up. Then once you've reached the top, the tree line, then you just come down Trail Ridge Road. But it's one way. It's gravel. Unbelievable switchbacks. Unbelievable beauty, but I can remember years they never even opened it because they just couldn't. They just didn't have the crews, and so it's pretty tough going, and I'll tell you what, it is an amazing example of what man is able to build when you drive that road through the Rocky Mountains. And hopefully they'll have the opportunity to get it open by July 4th. One of the things I remember is going up that road and looking up into the mountains and seeing the bighorn sheep. It's quite spectacular.
All right, well, we're running a little long tonight, so we're going to get right into the fun fact for the evening.
Okay.
All right. We're talking about a little tarantula tonight.
Okay.
And we like tarantulas.
Yes.
The tarantula spends most of its life within a burrow, which is an 18-inch vertical hole with about an inch-wide opening. Now, the male tarantulas are between the ages of 5 and 7. When they turn between 5 and 7, they leave their burrow in search of a female, usually in the early fall. Now, this migration actually signals the end of their life cycle.
So it's one date and it's over.
That's pretty much their story, yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, well.
Yep. One date and it's over.
Goodness gracious.
And as always, the females live a lot longer.
Of course.
All right, I want to warn everybody, it's a full moon, and there are more animal bites on full moons than any other time of the month. So that's the Wild World News for June 16th.
Well, thank you, Dr. Henry Day. As always, a wonderful job. We'd like to tell everyone to check out my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, and our brand-new Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends, filled with photos and information about our animal family. Also, the other underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio, such as RadioMom.fm and the home of the Radio Mom Shop, where you can save 50, 60, 70% on vacations, restaurants, and a variety of other goods and services. And, hey, listen to my show, The 70s on Sunday, 12 to 7 each Sunday at RadioMom.fm. Also, Santee Cooper Country in beautiful South Carolina, Lake Marion and Lake Moultrie, known as Santee Cooper Lakes, 171,000 acres and 450 miles of shoreline. Fantastic fishing, amazing golf. Go to their website, www.santeecoopercountry.org. Those are a few of our underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
You know
California, 60s rock star, now quite the filmmaker, Billy Hinshey joins us. Good evening, Billy.
Hey, how's everybody doing? Good evening. That was quite a news story, I got to say. I'm a news person,
and
I was not expecting it to be the animal news, but I really enjoyed it, I must say.
Well, I wanted to tell you before we went on, if you had anything to contribute, just jump right in, and we got busy talking and everything, but I bet listening to that brought back some memories, didn't it?
It did. That's the abbreviated version from the Ed Sullivan Show, if I'm not mistaken. We did that song, I'm a Fool, and our second hit, Not the Loving Kind, back-to-back on the Ed Sullivan Show. And my buddy Andrew Salt, who purchased the rights to all the Ed Sullivan shows, put together these great packages, compilations of, 60s groups that appeared sort of in different categories. And it's a great collection. Anyway, so, yeah, I'm familiar with that version of the song. It's quite short, but still, it's nice to hear it.
I'll bet. I guess that's where we'll start. How did the old Dino, Desi, and Billy thing all come about? I believe you guys went to high school together.
Well, it was grammar school. We were even younger than high school.
Oh.
That's the crux of it, it wasn't anything complicated. We just were all, Dino and I in particular, were best friends at a very young age. We met at age 7 when he and a couple of members of his family came to our school, Good Shepherd, Beverly Hills Catholic. And it took me a while to put it all together that his father was Dean Martin, even though his name was Dino Martin. When you're that young, you're not thinking along those lines. At least I wasn't. He didn't look at all like Dean Martin, blonde hair, blue eyes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So fair complexion. So it took me a while to put it all together. Anyway, and then Lucy and Desi came to our school a few years later, and, when the music craze hit the nation and everybody wanted to be in a band, and we did too. And Dino and I started out as a duet, and we ended up wanting to branch out a little bit, so we asked Desi if he'd like to be in our group, and we became a trio and went electric, and that's the basic story right there. Practiced, rehearsed, played at local parties around town, made a couple $20 here and there. We thought it was the greatest, and it was.
No. So whose house did you practice at?
We started at Lucille Ball's house. See, we were actually a garage band like so many others, except we practiced at Lucille Ball's garage. That's different.
So.
And then we went over to Dean Martin's house because there was a little bit more room, and Desi just set up his drums and left them there, and there was a bit of a stage in one of the rooms, more of a riser than a stage, just a little elevated area that was actually where the screen came down from the ceiling. It was a projection room as well as a sort of a family room and a pool table, and so that's where we rehearsed and honed our trade.
So did Mr. Martin come in and watch you guys ever, or listen, I should say?
He would pop in and just, say hello, stick his head in and wave, because he was working, He was at the set of either a movie set or his TV show or whatever, playing golf. And then, we rehearsed after school, So by the time we saw Dean, it was, 4 or 5 o'clock, just like kind of like a normal schedule, really.
So it had to be, and I was thinking about this earlier, it had to be a publicist manager dream to have 3 good-looking kids, and one of them is the son of Dean Martin, and one is the son of Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. And the package is there. I mean, it had to be.
The story writes itself. You know, the story writes itself. Where do you want to start? What angle do you want to, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And it's funny. excuse me. It's funny what actually the writers, some writers came up with it. How We Met was on the Little League diamond, you know, playing Little League.
Yeah.
Or that my father sold Dean and Lucy their homes. He was in the real estate business. None of that was true.
Mm-hmm.
What was true is the story I just told you. We simply were schoolmates, classmates.
Well, that makes a lot more sense. I mean, that's a lot more believable than because everybody had a garage band. Absolutely everyone we've ever had on the show, pretty much when I asked him what got him going into music, it was the night on Ed Sullivan, February the 9th, when the Beatles were on.
Unless you were one of the Beach Boys.
Yes, absolutely.
And then you got your start when you saw Chuck Berry, maybe.
Mm-hmm. So you go, you start going, you get a record deal, and you produce this first album, which I told you in our earlier conversations that that was one of my Christmas gifts. I still remember that album. And
from your parents, was it?
Yeah, absolutely. I was
And
I loved the song at the time. I loved, in fact, I loved the entire album. I can still remember. In fact, it wasn't too long ago that I had it out, and I thought I need to get a hold of Billy and have him on our show because the history, as I was saying earlier, I'm kind of jealous, Billy, because the other day you were at the Paul McCartney show. Then it got worse because you said you'd been to several.
You want me to really put the icing on the cake?
Please do.
I saw the Beatles perform twice at the Hollywood Bowl, both times they were there. So now you can really hate my sinking guts.
You know, they were, I have a lot of the recordings from that era. And when we think about the way they had to perform with no monitors, basically the vocals would come out over the general loudspeaker system.
Yeah.
The amps were not.
I know all about it because I had to do that too.
Mm-hmm. And it's not an ideal way to perform.
It was the way it was done then. You know what I mean? That was just the way it was done, and it was great for the time, but it just got better. That's all.
Absolutely. Well, I know a lot of the times they said they couldn't even hear one another from one side of the stage. I assume that was for you guys as well, huh?
Yeah, I think the only time I ever remember seeing monitors was at the Steel Pier in Atlantic City. They had what we call side fills. They were just like column speakers, you know, monitors that weren't even visible to the crowd. They were just in the wings, sort of, you know. And that was it. But that was better than nothing, you know.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
Some of these halls had slapback, you know. They still do, some of them. Where it's, you know, that slapback effect where the sound hits the back wall and comes back at you, and you're, you know, it's hard to keep time.
So when
anyway,
you guys went up.
Those days are pretty much over.
Oh, well, yeah. In fact, I'd even mentioned, I've thought about this over and over. What if the Beatles were out today and they had the systems that the groups have to perform with now? It would be, they probably would have continued live touring.
Uh-huh. Maybe so. Yeah, maybe so.
Because they just said, my recollection is that they just got so absolutely bored with it because they just felt that their musicianship was leaving and they didn't, and they just didn't enjoy it anymore. Now, with the musicians, you know, where you can actually, well, and you still do perform, you can go into a show and actually get into the moment more. I guess I'm putting that right. Because you can hear each other. It's just between night and day.
Yeah. Absolutely, it makes a lot. Makes all the difference in the world between a great performance and just sort of a so-so, you know, performance. I mean, even to this day, of course, you know, if you don't have the monitors dialed in, it can be a miserable experience.
Absolutely. So, when you guys go on tour, who were some of the other musicians and stuff that you had a chance to do concerts with?
Well. Dino, Desi, and Billy ended up being the opening act for the Beach Boys for a number of shows. We traveled with them a little bit. And we also were the opening act for Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs. You remember them?
Oh, yes. Woolly Bully.
Can you name? Yeah, that's right. And also, of course, Little Red Riding Hood.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a couple others. And we also went on like a Dick Clark tour with Tommy Rowe, Dino Desi Billy, and Paul Revere and the Raiders. That was the show. That was a good show.
Oh, I'll bet.
That was a real good show. We had a lot of fun.
So it had to be for
and,
three. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and then, you know, we did every TV show there was to do in L.A., and, gosh, there's this tape I saw of us on a show called Chivalry,
mm-hmm.
and there's Aretha Franklin clapping her hands right behind me. We were sort of, we played out the last song of the evening was our B-side, Dime a Fool, was called So Many Ways. So there was Aretha, and I can't remember who else was on stage with us, but it was, like, pretty amazing. She was very young. We were very young. I mean, in 1965, I was 14. So, yeah. I think I met everybody, you know. There's not too many people that I haven't had an opportunity to meet or perform with or share the stage with. I mean, after I was with Dino Desi Billy, I went on to play with the Beach Boys for many, many years. Maybe you know this, Carl Wilson was my brother-in-law, rest his soul. He was married to my sister Annie for many years. And so I became part of the Wilson extended family, sort of like the fourth Wilson brother, I like to say, because they all treated me so nice, Brian, Dennis, and Carl. So through the Beach Boys, I really met everybody and went everywhere. So it's been a good run. And I'm still doing it. Isn't that amazing?
Well, it is. In fact, as I had looked on your Facebook page, and I says, Billy Hinchey pretty much knows everyone in the music business.
Yeah, I think I've met quite a few. I can't deny it.
Billy Hinchey
probably stumped me on a few.
Oh, I know. It's a tremendous. Well, our guest tonight is Billy Hinchey from the 60s group Dino, Desi, and Billy. And this is Larry Batson. We're going to take a short break, and you're listening to Blog Talk Radio. This is Larry Batson's Wild World. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat.
Oh, boy, a kitty cat.
Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling.
What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters.
It's Bobcat Heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean?
Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Here's a hot topic about our wildlands and living with the natural role of fire.
Yard work is not just a matter of pride when you live in the wildland urban interface. It's also about survival. Here are some FireWise tips that can help protect your home from wildland fire. Prune your trees 6 to 10 feet above the ground. Remove dead leaves and branches and dispose of them before fire season. Water your lawn regularly and store firewood away from the house. Be prepared for a fire emergency by having a plan for your family and pets. Learn more at our website and then sit back and enjoy. You worked for it.
This hot topic was made possible by the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation. Learn more about the natural role of fire, how to protect your community, and get the latest fire information. Visit the National Interagency Fire Center website at NIFC.gov. That's NIFC.gov. Welcome back to Larry Batson's
wild world here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
Hello, everyone. This is Larry Batson. You are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on this magical network known as Blog Talk Radio. We want to tell everyone we're going to be back with Billy Hinchey in just a few moments with the 60s group Billy, or Dino, I can't even talk tonight, Dino, Desi, and Billy.
I don't mind if you give me top billing. I don't mind if if you name me first. That's okay.
Well, you should get top billing, because I've always thought when I'd watch the band, I said, that's the heart of the band right there. So that's the talent.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We're going to talk about his film work in just a little bit. We want to remind everybody that next week on the show, Chris Fisher from Denali National Park in Alaska. She's the interpreter of the park, education director. So we're going to be going way, way up north and hear all about Alaska. So we're looking forward to that program. And we want to remind everyone that you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Larry-Batson and download all the shows from the past, including tonight after the live broadcast. We encourage you to do that. Tell your friends as well. And enjoy the past shows. We've had fantastic guests as well as tonight, so we hope everybody does take advantage of that. The downloads are absolutely free of charge and also available on iTunes. And as I've been told over the last year, we've had close to 20,000 downloads, so we appreciate everyone listening to the program. We'd also like to thank iKidsFishing.com. It's the first kids fishing show in the USA starring kids, teaching kids how to fish. 40 million fishermen spending $45 billion a year. The iKids Fishing Show is a keeper. More info at We Want You Cottages at Chautauqua Lake in Western New York. Here's that website, www.wewantyou.com. It's one of America's finest fishing resorts and one of the great new TV programs, iKids Fishing. Also, a big thank you to Tire Service Plus and owner Jerry Jones, taking care of America's auto maintenance needs. They keep our animal truck on the road, traveling thousands of miles with our wild animal ambassadors. Give them a call, 317-243-0700. And also McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. Have you ever been to Estes Park, Colorado, Billy?
I think I have. If you could help me dial that in, where is that near? Is it near Denver? Is it near Colorado Springs? Where exactly?
It's about an hour from Denver. It's right on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park.
Yeah, I think I have, because I've been to Colorado many times with the Beach Boys. I spent time up at Caribou Ranch, which is above Boulder City there, and Boulder, Colorado, and I played extensively throughout Boulder, including, as I mentioned, Colorado Springs. And I think at one time or another I drove through there either on the way to a gig or just for pleasure. Colorado's a great state.
Oh, it is. We call it God's country. Go to their website at info@McGregorMountainLodge.com. We'd like to thank all of our individual underwriters. You can become a supporter of the broadcast. Go to LarryTheAnimalGuy.com and contact yours truly. And we will tell you how easily it is to be an individual underwriter, such as Jeannie Harold, which is so kind to help support her show. And your name will be broadcast on each edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Tonight's guest, what a great guy. Billy Hinchey is with us tonight. And before the broadcast, Billy, we were talking a little bit about this fantastic album Al Jardine came out with. And you've been on tour with Al's band. It's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty amazing work.
Yeah. It's a heck of an assemblage of, stellar name people, speaking of, meeting people. I think I've met everybody on that album except for Flea, who I admire. I really dig the Red Hot Chili Peppers. But I've, spent time a little bit on the road with Neil Young, Steve Stills, because Buffalo Springfield opened for the Beach Boys, and I was sort of hanging around in the mid-60s with them, and then later on Beach Boys opened for Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young when they were the biggest group in the world. That was in 76. And Steve Miller, he shared the stage with the Beach Boys at a venue in New York called Jones Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And he played my Stratocaster while I sang Wipeout. He played Wipeout, and while I rapped, Beach Boys, Fat Boys did a lyrical version of Wipeout. Did you know that?
No, I had no idea.
Yeah, it was actually a hit on the radio. Not the one I sang. I didn't sing on the record. I'm just saying that in concert, that was one of my assignments, just for fun.
I'll do that,
and people seem to like it. Mm-hmm.
What a school that was, touring with the Beach Boys, because when you think about the Wilsons and the whole group, I mean, the masterful musicians. I mean, every night had to be, you thought, wow, this is just amazing.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you start with some of the best songs ever written and the best harmonies, you know, ever, and you know, nobody can match the Beach Boys' harmony and the structure of the parts that Brian put together. It's, you know, quite an honor to have
worked
with them all these years and to continue to work with Al Jardine. And, you know, I went on tour with Brian a few years ago. I like to say I'm the only guy, I think, well, yeah, for sure, that came up through the Beach Boys organization that's played with the Beach Boys. I was with Carl Wilson on both of his solo tours. I've worked with Brian's band. I've sat in with the new Beach Boys, you know, for lack of a better way to describe them. The Beach Boys of today, I guess, would be a good way to say it. And Al Jardine. So I've played with all of them. And, you know, I've worked with Dennis Wilson. I love Dennis very much and miss Dennis a lot. And so anyway, I'm pretty much steeped in Beach Boys, you know, musicology and the lore and the myth and the legend and all that stuff. I'm happy to say I'm a little bit a part of that.
Well, it would have to be quite an honor because they'll go down in history as one of the great bands of all time. When in your career... Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've asked several music people over the last couple of years we've been doing this show. When in your career did you look around at that particular moment and think, man, this job is just way too cool?
Oh, boy. There were a lot of moments playing for President Reagan and his wife and playing at, you know, Live Aid in Philadelphia and, you know, playing at Wembley Stadium in England, the big one, you know, for an Elton John show the Beach Boys were on. And, God, it's just, you know, that first time playing at the Hollywood Bowl, standing right there where the Beatles stood, you know, I guess a few months before, you know, playing with Dino Disney Billy opening for the Beach Boys. I mean, there have been a lot of peak moments for me. Definitely, you know, a lot of them.
What was the Live Aid experience like? I mean, what a concert that was.
God, it's incredible. We were in a hotel just a few minutes, miles from the stadium. I believe it was JFK Stadium. And pardon me if I got that wrong, but I believe that's what it was. And, you know, the hotel, there were two hotels, one across the street from the other, and all the bands were in either one hotel or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Mick Jagger was staying at one of them, and we were here at this one, and Jimmy Page was over there. And, you know, I mean, it was incredible. And then just the scene, you know, at the venue itself, you know, we were able to watch it on TV in our hotel rooms. And then when it was time to go, we'd just, you know, get in the vans and go on over there, and that was in 85. Because the reason I know that is because Jimmy Page was our special guest July 4th, 1985, when we played to a million people in Philadelphia, in the streets of Philadelphia, and then we took a train and went to D.C. and played to the paltry 500,000 people or so at the Washington Mall. And so we had, you know, I'd met him, and what a great guy. And, oh, my God, to be on stage with him playing Lucille. I mean, come on. Yeah. And, and anyway, so, that's the Live Aid was where Led Zeppelin, quote, unquote, reunited, you know, without John Bonham. But still, they hadn't performed, you know, at all.
Right.
And so it was huge. I wasn't at the stadium for that. I was actually back at the hotel watching that because I believe they closed the show because they were, you know, the biggest thing to happen in Live Aid. But it was incredible, you know, bouncing back and forth from the English stage to our stage, and it was incredible.
It was
absolutely amazing. The crowd was, and what's most important is the Beach Boys really, really did well that day. We really, really delivered. We really played well. I think we did a 5-song set. It's on a DVD somewhere. I mean, we were tight, you know. Everybody really, really took care of business that day, you know. The band sounded great, looked great. Brian was there. You know, it was fantastic.
And I imagine the Beach Boys, because of it was technically, and tell me if I'm wrong, the music is so precise that, you know, there were probably nights where it was just extra special. I mean, it came together.
I'm sorry, the music was so what? I didn't catch that.
It was so technical. When you get into the harmony and the arrangements.
Oh, my God. You know, the thing with the Beach Boys music, I've said it before, sounds simple, isn't simple.
No.
You know, even a song like Surfer Girl, which was Brian's first song he'd ever written at age 18. I mean, it just sounds like a little children's nursery song, you know. Da 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 da. I mean, but boy, then you get into the bridge, you get into the modulation, and it's like, whoa. Then you layer all those harmonies on top. I mean, there are sevenths and minor sevenths and major sevenths and passing chords and suspended chords. I mean, it's complex. Trust me.
And it's probably to a point that if one of the musicians is having, I don't know how you put it, an off night, it could throw the whole deal, it could throw everything off.
Well, you know, that didn't happen often, and it was more not so much an off night as maybe an off note. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, everyone pretty much was pretty, you know, very, very professional operation, you know what I mean? And everybody held their own pretty much, you know. I know as myself as a musician, I took it real seriously, you know. It was very important to me to play every song as best I could.
Well, I've always heard, too, when you were talking about Jimmy Page, what a gentle soul he always seemed to be.
Absolutely. I mean, that's not the reputation or the expectation was quite different, but his onstage persona and his offstage persona were quite different.
And he would have to be, as we would say in that era, probably one of the musical geniuses between, I mean, what a collaboration. And you know, you probably had a chance to see it firsthand between him and Robert Plant and the music that they produced.
Yeah, well, you know, that was Jimmy's band, you know. Mm-hmm. He put it together and controls it, and you know what I mean? More power to him.
Absolutely. So you're now a film... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I wasn't saying anything. You go ahead.
Okay. You've been a filmmaker for years, and you've done this amazing project on the late, great Carl Wilson, who...
Yeah.
You know, had one of the most beautiful voices and was so much a part of the
Beach Boys. Even before he started singing lead vocals. I mean, I love the fact that he got to sing Good Vibrations and God Only Knows. I mean, those are two such iconic songs. I mean, it's incredible. That, you know, great, great choice of Brian to, you know, ask Carl to sing those. And, but then, you know, even before those solo moments, I mean, he was so much part of that vocal structure of which we talked about. I mean, as was Al Jardine, as was Mike, as, you know, all those parts were critical, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the pieces of a puzzle. If they, you know, they all have to blend. And, you know, Brian was, you know, he was a taskmaster, you know. In the studio, he really wanted, he wouldn't let those guys stop until he got the take that he wanted, you know. There was no rush with Brian, you know. He had to get it right, to his credit, you know. That's why those records have stood the test of time. They're just, the work, it's you know, the effort is reflected in the final result.
Is that probably why at that time the Smile Project didn't come together, because he knew exactly what he wanted and he wasn't getting it?
I don't know. I mean, it was so close. I really don't know what to say about that. maybe so. That's something Brian would have to answer. It's too complicated of a topic, and it's so long ago, you know. But now, guess what? For the 50th anniversary, they're going to put the pieces back together again. But anyway, getting back to, you mentioned me making films and stuff, yeah. If your listeners go to my website and check out, you know, all the things that I've done, they can read about it and see trailers and, you know, order them if they like. I've done a DVD on Dennis Wilson called Dennis Wilson Forever. Dennis wrote a song called Forever that, you know, I thought it was kind of a little play on that word to call the thing Dennis Wilson Forever. One called 1974, On the Road with the Beach Boys, something I shot in my college years at UCLA Film School, Motion Pictures and Television School, where I got my degree, Bachelor of Fine Arts, in 74. And that's a pretty interesting piece, shot in black and white videotape, the first videotape home recording device ever made. It was cutting edge at the time, but by today's standards, it's archaic. But nonetheless, it's better than nothing, right? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Nobody else is doing it. So somebody had to do it, like they say. Somebody had to do it, so I guess I had to do it.
So it's easy to say that Billy Hinchey was the originator of reality television in this film.
You know, that might not be so far off of a stretch, or certainly an early sort of behind the scenes, you know. They have these shows, you know, MTV and VH1, you know, Behind the Music, you know.
Yeah.
Or just on the road, you know, documentary, following a group around, you know. It's I don't know if anything was done prior to 1974. Maybe. I mean, I know Frank Zappa made a film, 1,000 Motels, which I have yet to see. I don't know where to get my hands on that. I'd love to see it. But anyway, it was certainly the first one on the Beach Boys. How's that?
Yeah, there you go. So how did they feel
and
like
then,
that?
Fine. I mean, it was all fun and in good spirit, and everybody knew I was doing it for my college credits, and everyone was just very, very natural, and they helped me fulfill my obligation to UCLA, and lo and behold, it only took me 35 years to edit it all together, mind you, but it looks pretty good. Then Carl Wilson, we did one on him. I say me with 50 other people who I interviewed. That took almost 4 years to make, and there are a lot of really nice, very personal family photos, home movies no one's ever seen that. In the Hinchey Wilson archive, shall we say.
Yeah.
And it's a very personal story.
Yeah.
And we talk about Carl, of course, as a singer, guitarist. His sons, Jonah and Justin, are on there talking about their dad. And, my sister's in it, and Marilyn Wilson, who was married to Brian, and Carol Wilson, who was married to Dennis. Everybody has some wonderful anecdotes about Carl, and then we talk a little bit about his illness, and there's a sad portion of the film, but we come back and I try to bring it to an uplifting sort of a conclusion. But I'll tell you what I'm working on right now, and those are all, by the way, on my website, billyhinchey.com. Very easy to find me on the internet. Just Google my name, and if you kind of sort of spell it correctly, you'll find me. Though my last name is spelled H-I-N-S-C-H-E, Hinchey.
Yes, sir.
And that's a German name. My father was of German descent, so even though I don't maybe not look German, I certainly am proud of my heritage. Anyway, the one I'm working on right now, and I'm about to launch it really in maybe a week or so, is one that I shot. It's another on-the-road film, but it's a pure just boom, boom, boom. It's one day. It's a day in the life on the road, one day, August 18th, 1991,
mm-hmm.
where we go to five different cities in one day.
Wow.
You believe that? Yeah. We play two shows. It's five cities, two shows, one day. And I will reveal the title, and I'm going to put up a trailer in short order. You can find it. It'll be all over Facebook. And that's my new project. I like to say it's kind of a comedy because I'm keeping up a constant running commentary. It's like, well, here we are at the hotel, and up, you know, we're on the bus now, and here's everybody on the bus, and here we are at the venue, and here we are on our charter plane, and I introduce everybody, you know, to the camera, and you know, everyone's once again very relaxed and natural and fun and. You know, it's just a very behind-the-scenes look at the day in the life on the road with the Beach Boys.
It has to be fantastic.
Sound interesting?
Oh, absolutely. I can't even
imagine.
You're
a Beach Boy fan. Yeah, and this is only 20 years ago, you know. 1974 was 37 years ago, for crying out loud, you know. But this is just a mere 20 years ago, you know. Carl was still with us. We lost Denny at that point, but... It's Mike, Carl, Al, and Bruce. And the band was myself, Mike Kowalski on drums, Ed Carter on bass, Mike Maros on keyboards. We lost Mike a couple of years ago. He had a heart attack, regretfully. Adrian Baker on guitar and Matt Jardine on percussion and vocals. And we had six dancers, and we had a... just a big entourage, and you get to see what it was like. Be a part of the scene and sort of eavesdrop on conversations and just have some fun and some laughs. It's a much more lighthearted film than Carl's. Of course, Carl was quite a bit more serious, and it ran 3 hours, whereas this movie will run about 70 minutes, 75 minutes, an hour and 15 or so.
It has to be. After Carl passed, every time you guys performed, you must have felt his spirit on that stage.
Well, yeah, you know, it was tough. It was tough. It was one of the toughest things. But I keep him close with my films, and, you know, so I just, it's, yeah, he's gone, but he's still with me, you know.
Is there one moment that you'd be willing to share with our listeners that was extra special just between you and Carl?
Oh, gosh. There were a lot. He was very supportive of me. I'm trying to think of one in particular. I was starting to write a little bit. You know, people have been telling me for years, oh, yeah, you ought to write a book, you ought to write a book. And I always thought that was just not, I wasn't ready to do something like that. I was always, you know, a little too young, I thought, or I thought it was a little presumptuous to, you know, for me, a young person like me to write a book. But now you see these kids, you know, these young stars, you know, teenagers, you know, all of a sudden they've got a book, you know, it's like, wow, that was fast, you know. But anyway, I had written a few chapters, and I had put together like a synopsis chapter headings with a short description, and we went out to dinner, and I sort of tentatively let him look at the chapters, titles, and read through, you know, where I was going with this book, and he looked at it, and I was really kind of sweating it, did not know really what the reaction was going to be, and he just looked at it, and he just said, keep writing. So, you know, I did, and one of these days I'll finish that book. But right now, my attention is on my filmmaking. But one day I'll probably write a book.
Well, you should, because the life of Billy Hinshie has been absolutely amazing. I mean,
thank you.
There's a kabillion people out there that are listening at this moment. Think, boy, I would just like to be in his shadow for just a few moments to.
billion people listen to you? That's a lot.
Absolutely. We're worldwide. Absolutely.
That is great. Well, hello, world.
We have listeners, England, Ireland, New Zealand. I'll get an email tomorrow from New Zealand. I know it already. That'll say, what a fantastic show. What a great guest. And it's, you know what you should do, Billy? And I've suggested this to Bobby Caldwell, is you, my nephew took a college course in rock and roll history at Indiana University.
Mm-hmm.
I can see you as being a professor of rock and roll history at some prestigious university here in the States. Absolutely.
Well, you know, that thought has crossed my mind, and it's not so far off or far out of an idea, actually. You know, I'm not going to say I'm an expert on everything about rock and roll, or I know everything, but I know a lot. You know, I've been through it. I've lived it. You know, it's not like I studied it. I actually was, you know, part of it. So, yeah, that could be something very cool.
Well,
thanks for reminding me.
Well, it's like a scientist going on a field trip. Your entire life's been a field trip of music. And the
I like
people
that, a field trip of music.
And the people that create.
That's cool. I like that. That's very cool.
And, gosh, what a nice guy you are, Billy. I mean, it's been such an absolute pleasure to talk to you for the last few minutes, and so kind of you to share this your life with us. I know that people right now are just enthralled with the life of Billy Hinchey and the legacy he has and the future. I am dying to see those DVDs, so I'll have to.
Well, go see my site. Go to my site, and you'll see the trailers. And there's a lot to see. You know, I've made a lot of stuff available for everybody to see. Just have a look, and maybe you want to make one your own or the whole collection.
So this is a Wild World Animal Program. Do you have a pets at home, Billy?
No, I don't. I've had pets over the years, but not at the moment. But I live in the wild city of Las Vegas, so there's a lot of wild animals roaming around this town, I'll tell you that.
Oh, that's pretty much true. I mean, that's pretty much there's so much truth to that. The city that never sleeps.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's been quite an honor to have you on. Gosh, thank you for sharing your time with us this evening. It was absolutely.
Well, it was fun for me too, Larry. Thank you, and thanks to Melissa and Dr. Henry, is it?
Dr. Henry
and,
Day.
That's right. Yeah, well, thanks to all of you guys, and I appreciate it. It's,
I'm pretty excited
been
about
chatting with you and
yeah.
going to the website
we'll again,
and checking out all the videos.
So it was a good show, Dr. Day.
It was wonderful. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited about going to Billy's website.
Oh.
Being the Beach Boys
right.
fan that
all
I
right.
am.
Oh.
Well, thank you kindly.
Oh, yes, and what a thrill. So, Billy, have a great evening. We appreciate it so much for you being on our show. Gosh, what a great spirit you have. Fantastic talent.
Thank you.
And
it's been fun for me too. Thanks, guys.
And the rock and roll world is truly blessed that Billy Hinchey has been a part of it. It's absolutely incredible. So, will you be going out with the Beach Boys anytime soon?
Well, I've got some shows coming up with Al Jardine. We're doing an extended run right here in Las Vegas, the Riviera.
Oh.
Come see us August 3 through 14 at the Starlight Theater at the Riviera, the legendary Riviera Hotel.
Playing music from Postcard from California, I assume.
Some of that and lots of Beach Boys, and yeah, it'll be fun. Up close and personal.
Absolutely. Well, thanks to Billy Hinchey. And I want to remind everyone that next week on the program, Elaine Fisher from the great state of Alaska will be talking about Denali National Park. This is Larry Batson. And you've been listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Billy.
Okay, guys, we'll talk to you later. Thank you. Appreciate the invitation.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World.
us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.